You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with How to Fight with Your Faith.
1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we've been talking for several weeks now, at least a month, about how to fight with your faith. Because sometimes we use these terms about I'm in a faith fight, fight the good fight of faith. And our objective in this is to make this real practical, what it means to fight with your faith and how to fight with your faith. The kingdom of God doesn't operate by rhetoric. It operates by principles. And you can say things and not have understanding of it. With all you're getting, get what? Get understanding. So our endeavor is to really cause you to understand what it means and how to fight with your faith. So because it says fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, or the God kind of life. So the kind of life that God wants you to have is not automatically just going to flow to you. You're going to have to fight for it. When we were traveling, one of the things we were reminded of, that America is still viewed around the world as a land of opportunity. It is the land where people believe you can become anything. And then it's like the last barrier for African Americans was that some people think, yeah, you can do anything except become the vice president. The president of these United States. We see anybody can become president. Okay? So, you know, people view this nation as a land of opportunity, a land of the land of the free, the home of the brave. Well, the kingdom of God is a land of opportunity. Amen. You can be what you want to be. You can be everything God said you can be, but it's not necessarily going to be given to you. You're going to have to fight for it. And so you have to fight. And the Bible says, the Bible talks about fighting lawfully, meaning based upon the principles of God's word. So in starting to look at how you fight with your faith, number one, we say you got to put your head in the fight. Got to get your mind right. Because 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 talks about the weapon of our warfare, a mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, those thoughts, imaginations, high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And so you first got to think right. You have to get your mind in it. Take no thought saying what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear. Gird up the loins of your mind. All these are scriptures that we looked at in terms of preparing and putting your head in the fight first. Secondly, we said you got to show up, because you cannot defeat what you will not face. So you're going to have to show up for the battle. You can't run away. You can't check out. You can't pull your head over the. You can't pull your covers over your head just because you ignore opening up the letters, and just because you ignore phone calls, it doesn't mean that they won't repossess your car or foreclose on your house. It just means that because you'll be asleep and have the and your covers over your head, you won't see it when it comes. But it's going to happen, and so if you don't do anything to counter it, amen. And I was recently talking to my daughter about this. You know, she's going through some challenges. And I was saying, I said, Kendra, I know it gets overwhelming sometimes. I said, but you can't act like this is not the situation you're in. You got to face it. And sometimes the easiest thing for us to do is to, sometimes we say we're in faith because I'm just going to let God take care of that. No, but God's going to work through you. He's going to teach your hands to war. All right. He's going to give you strategy. He's going to give you an assignment. He's going to tell you who to go talk to. He'll tell you what seed to sow. He'll tell you what to say. But you're going to have to do something. I think on Sunday, as part of the series I'm teaching about honor, there was a situation where when God called Saul, he was looking for his father's donkeys. Okay. But they came up with an idea what to do to go find the donkeys. They didn't just say, well, we're just going to believe God and donkey's going to come back. They said, no, we're going to go see the man of God. And so there's strategy that God will give you. So you got to show up. Number three, we said, is that you have to rehearse your past victories. And we looked at David and Goliath, and the fact that David said he killed the lion and he killed the bear. And one of the things I pointed out to y'all that I had never thought about before until I was teaching you is that I think in all likelihood, the whole purpose for David fighting a lion and fighting a bear was because one day he won't have to fight this Philistine. In other words, sometimes the battle you're in right now, the fight you're facing right now, has nothing to do with what you're going through right now. It's about a future fight. And you got to win this one to prepare you and to give you the testimony that you can fight the big one. Amen. So David was able to say, I defeated the lion, I defeated the bear, and so now I can fight this uncircumcised Philistine. And so we said, you got to rehearse your victory. Look back over your life. See the things that God has done for you. You know, we used to sing a song years ago that said, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count them, list them, keep a journal of them. For years, I still have, it probably goes back as long as we've had email. Okay, so, but I have certain folders that I have. I have folders that are just not all, I have folders of praise reports, of people's praise reports, but I also have folder. I also have email folders of people who told me that the word blessed them. So when I get all the criticism, when I want to encourage myself, I go back over the years and I pull that up. And I see all the people who told me they were blessed by the word and what the word. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have something to counter this negative stuff that comes at you. You got to have some praise that's gonna counter your pressure. You have to have a history with God that should help you to go through. Let's move on to number four, because the fourth thing that we want to tell you tonight in terms of how to fight with your faith is to decree and declare your future victory in the beginning of the fight. Decree and declare your future victory in the beginning of the fight. Now, let me see if I can remember how I say that at noon. You got to speak the outcome at the get-go. Say this, say, I declare my outcome from the get-go. In other words, you say in the beginning how this is going to end. And I'm going to show you that in the scripture. Look at Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Go ahead and read, honey.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
That verse from the Amplified says, declaring the end and the result from the beginning. God declares the end and the result from the beginning, or at the beginning. So before it even starts, God says, this is what I'm going to do. Okay? God tells Abraham, oh man, so good. God tells Abraham, he says, I'm gonna make a great nation out of you, and your seed shall be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the seashore. And then he says, but know this, that your people gonna go into bondage for 400 years, but I'm gonna bring them out with great substance. Before it ever happens, before they even went in, God told them how they're gonna come out. Amen. And when you know that you have victory, which hopefully you'll get established, that you'll be established in that by the time we finish here tonight, is that you declare your victory in the beginning. So you get a bad report, you declare that God won't turn this report around. Amen. You get a bill you can't pay, you declare this thing is going to be paid. God's going to show up in a miraculous way. Some kind of way God's going to bring me through and bring me out of this thing. So you got to declare your ending in the beginning. All right. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. Now, why would you declare the beginning in the ending? I mean, the ending in the beginning? That's based upon the principle of faith declarations and speaking faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith. Everybody say same spirit of faith. Listen, one of the ways some of y'all, y'all profess that y'all are spiritual children and all that, I'm going to tell you, what's the one of the evidences that you really belong to us, and we don't have to go on a Maury Povich show and find out that we really aren't your parents, is the spirit of faith. If you sit under us or sit around us on this ministry for any length of time, you ought to have the spirit of faith. This spirit of I can't go on, I'm giving up, I'm quitting. Who child you is? Who your daddy is? Who your mama is? We don't recognize that. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. What? I believe, therefore have I spoken. If you believe it, then you do what? You speak it. Now, you need to understand, this is a supernatural principle. In order to have supernatural results, you got to work supernatural principle. This is a supernatural principle. The supernatural principle says, I speak what I believe. Not I speak what I see. I speak what I believe. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, the reason why it's a supernatural principle, because people don't understand this supernatural principle who caught up with this thing about jinxing. You say, some man, this car going to last me 10 years. Somebody said, I wouldn't say that if I was you. That may make it break down tomorrow. No, more likely it's going to break down tomorrow because you didn't say it was going to last you for 10 years. So you speaking the word of God is not going to jinx your situation. It's going to enhance your situation. Amen. Remember, I showed y'all from Luke the fifth chapter or Mark the fifth chapter when Jesus come to Jairus' daughter and they said, well, don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead now. Jesus stopped. He said, believe only and your daughter shall live. Don't speak what you just heard. Don't speak what they said. Keep speaking the word. We believe and therefore what? We speak. So if you don't believe it enough to speak it, you really don't believe it. Now let me give you some parameters around that. Because you can't speak what you believe to everybody. Okay? Now you got to know that. Sometimes you're speaking what you believe to yourself. And you're speaking to other brothers and sisters who got the same spirit of faith. Because, I mean, you know, when you speak things that you believe to people who don't have the spirit of faith, they try to make you think you're crazy. And you're around them enough, you say, yeah, I guess it, maybe I am. That really don't make no sense. You know, because you start getting all that negative stuff. I know people who've gotten bad reports. And even myself, when I was going to have surgery, my heart surgery, I think the staff knew. And I think I let the elders know. And they prayed for me. I didn't tell y'all till I got back. Because if people don't have the same spirit of faith, before you know it, I'm dead. No, really. Have y'all seen people do that? I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't dead. You know, it could be a bad report and people make it a dead report. And I heard he died. You know, and some of y'all got to watch that stuff on social media. People that put out tweets, somebody, rest in peace. All of a sudden, hey, so-and-so died. And so you got to be careful, Simon, who you speak. You got to speak and declare it to people who have the same spirit of faith. All right. Look at 1 Samuel 17. Let's glean a little bit more and dissect a little bit more of this whole battle between David and Goliath and use that as a backdrop for how to fight with your faith. 1 Samuel 17, 43 through 47. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation because it makes it real simple. The Philistine ridiculed David. Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick? And he cursed him by his gods. Come on, said the Philistine. I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. David answered, you come at me with the sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of the God of angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. Know what David's saying? They said, oh, Sookie, so it's on now. You cursing my God? You mocking my God? My God will not be mocked. God, my God is about to show up to counter everything you've been saying against him. So he says, look what David says. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you. Cut off your head and serve up your body and the body of your Philistine buddies to the crows and coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's handing you to us on a platter. This is before he threw one stone. This is before he ran towards him. This is before he started spinning his slingshot. He declared the ending at the beginning. Amen. And you've heard me say, let me get, first I really heard say that, I heard preach that was Minister Joy. She preached that many years ago. I've been taking it from her, so I'm gonna give her credit. Most times she ain't here, she's with children. She don't know. But she was preaching about this one time. I guess she was preaching to the children and said that David cut off Goliath's head and went around carrying that head for many days so he can let everybody know this is how you get ahead in life. Okay. And he did that, but he declared what he was going to do before it happened. So you get a bad physical report. You declare your healing. God's going to turn this thing around. Glory to God. I'm going to walk back in this place. You know, I mean, really, one of the greatest encouragement things to me is when I talk to Brother Holmes and Mother Holmes. Okay. And all that she's been through. All I hear them talk is faith. All of him talk about is not just that God's good, but they still believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. You got to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What do you have to lose by speaking and declaring God's word in advance of your problem?
You know, when you're talking about decreeing and declaring, I just want to talk about that a little bit. You already mentioned when you're declaring something, you're making an announcement. You're announcing, as Pastor was saying, the end of the thing. But when you're decreeing, you're standing in your official capacity as a kingdom representative. You're decreeing, you are announcing, you're declaring the law. And so when you're decreeing, you say, you know this. I know I'm the healed and I come against sickness and I take authority over this thing. So you are decreeing, say, as a kingdom representative, I know the law, which is the word of God regarding this matter. So that's decreeing. When you're declaring, you're making your announcement. Okay? So as believers, we got to decree the law, the word of God, and you got to make your announcement.
Job 22, verse 28, it says, thou shalt also decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. And the light shall shine upon your ways. The Amplified says, you shall also decide and decree a thing. So when you decree, you're already deciding what you want. You shall decide and decree a thing. It shall be established for you. You will succeed in whatever you choose to do. And light will shine on the road ahead of you. So you decide, I'm going to be healed. You decide I'm going to be out of debt. You decide this thing is not going to defeat me. You make that decision before you even fight or throw the first punch or throw the first sling or swing the sling. Before you go into the battle, you decide your victory. Amen. John 16:33. This is Jesus speaking. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now, if you step outside of Jesus, you're going to lose your peace. He said, but these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now, in the world, you shall have tribulation. What's the other word for tribulation? Trouble. He said, now, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. How many of you in the world? Some of y'all, I've been delivered. I've been translated. He brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Okay, stop being so deep. Okay. In the world, you're in this natural earth. Okay. In this natural earth, on this side of heaven, you shall have tribulation. That's not a negative confession. That's a statement of fact that Jesus said. You're going to have trouble in this world. Okay. But in me, you have peace. So even though you're in the world and you got trouble in the world, abide in me. Let my words abide in you and you can still have peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But despite all the trouble or tribulation going on in the world, be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. So Jesus said, watch this. You're going to have trouble, but you got to know because you're in me. I've already conquered and given you the victory over the trouble. So why do we act so shocked when trouble comes our way? I can't believe I'm going through this. If you in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. Why me? Why not you? You in the world, aren't you? God going to show himself strong on somebody's behalf. Amen. And the only way God going to be able to show himself strong is that you're going to have to be in some situations that require a strong hand from God. Amen. The only way you're going to get a mighty deliverance, you're going to need a mighty deliverance. Great victories come through great battles. So in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Keep your head together. Abide in me. Rest in my peace. Because before you even go through the trouble, I've already overcome the world. Romans 8, 37. We're going to back up because nay and all these things, that sounds good, but you got to know what these things are. Romans 8 chapter and verse 37. Paul's talking about, are we going to let things and circumstances separate us from the love of God? Look at verse 35, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now watch this. These are not spiritual attacks. This is natural stuff that he said I have been through in my circumstances. Tribulation, trouble, distress. Okay, come on. If you in the middle of the sea holding on to a board, that can be a little distressful. Okay, distress, persecutions. Okay, getting beat 3 times, almost 40 stripes, save one. Famine, not having anything to eat. Nakedness, not having clothing, my clothes stripped from me. Peril, dangerous situation, or sword, threatening to be killed. He said, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no, I'm not going to let any of these things separate me. In all these things, these circumstances, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. So what do conquerors do? Conquer. What do overcomers do? What do winners do? And so we are more than conquerors. Paul said, despite we're going through these things, you got to know I'm already a conqueror. Watch it. The reason why God allows me to go through it is because I'm a conqueror. The scripture says that God will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able. So if you're going through it, God's already determined you can make it through it. In other words, before you could even be in this trial, this test, you had to qualify for it. God already knew you have what it takes. So you have to gird up the loins of your mind and realize, if God allows me to go through this, he's already made a way of escape for me to bear up under it. God's already given me victory just the fact that I'm in it. Amen. Job, everything Job went through was with God's permission. God had already told the devil, go ahead, you can touch, watch this, you can even touch his children, you can touch his property, you can touch all his stuff. He is going to come through it. He will not curse me. Now, which also talks about, we're talking about fighting with your faith, but the fight is for your faith. What's the fight for? So the fight is not about your car. See, you get all caught up in the car. The fight is not even about your marriage. The fight is not about your children. The fight is not about your house. The fight is about your faith. So when you see people who lose their faith because they lost their house, they already had an issue.
Every battle that you encounter may not be a physical fight. Sometimes you will have to fight with your faith. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey give you strategies to win in the spiritual realm. Order this powerful 5-part series today for your love gift of $25 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for How to Fight with Your Faith. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.